Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia, this is The Bright Side with Technisha.
A daily broadcast on real-life issues that will keep you motivated.
And now, here's your host, Technisha.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today is April the 5th, 2014, and you're tuning in to another episode of The Bright Side with Technisha. Today is a glorious day here in Atlanta, Georgia, and let's enjoy because tomorrow we'll be expecting rain. And, of course, I may employee of the month at the Marriott Hotels and Resorts, so I'm very happy. And thank you for liking it on Facebook and liking my Facebook fan page as well. So tell your friends, your mom, your dad, sister, uncle, to come on, tune on in daily from 12 to 1 p.m. Today on the air, I have Dr. Leslie Phillips. She is the author of The Midas Tree. It is a spiritual novel for children, but as well as your parents, for the elders, for anyone who is interested. Dr. Phillips, how are you today?
Oh, I'm really well, thank you. So I'm having a great day. It's early morning here in Vancouver still, but I'm at the Body Soul Spirit Expo here, so I'm expecting a busy day ahead of me. I've tried to find a quiet space, but it turns out that it's next to the daycare facility, I think.
I know. I got a set of twins myself. They're 8 years of age, so I understand that. Dr. Phillips, if you don't mind, tell us more about your background.
Sure. Well, in a nutshell, I started out actually as a PhD scientist, and I was a microbiologist, and I used to travel the world to biodiverse regions on the planet, isolating microbes and trying to discover new drugs from them. And then after that, I became a businesswoman in the pharmaceutical industry, and I used to negotiate multi-million dollar deals between pharmaceutical companies. But at the same time, and in parallel to that, I've always been a very spiritual person. And I guess my spiritual journey started with a dream diary that then opened my eyes to many different things, because through my dreams, I met my spirit guides, I had premonitions of future events, I experienced myself in past lifetimes. And so that kind of caused me to embark on a spiritual journey and some very intense spiritual training. And so I now am a meditation teacher and a spiritual teacher and a clairvoyant and a healer. And I specialize in doing past life readings and aura readings and helping other people open and activate their spiritual abilities. And of course, as you mentioned at the beginning, I'm an author as well. And my book, The Midas Tree, is available through Amazon and through some bookstores as well.
Oh, well, thank you for giving us that information early. So, Dr. Phillips, what got you into the spiritual world?
Well, like I said, it actually was my dream. I mean, I should backtrack a little bit and say I believe that every single person on this planet has spiritual abilities, and we're kind of born that way, but oftentimes our culture does not support that, you know, that the culture sort of channels you in a very narrow direction, which oftentimes is to perform academically, you know, to focus on reading, writing, maths, and doing well at school. And what happens with a lot of people is because they then focus on their intellect, that their spiritual side and spiritual abilities are turned down. And so I don't think I was any different than that. And so for a lot of us, we, you know, it's the process of rediscovering who we are when we get a bit older. And for me, my way into doing that was through my dreams. I kept a dream diary and actually trained myself to record my dreams on a dictaphone so that when I would wake up in the morning, I would listen to the recording. And there might be four or five dreams on this dictaphone that I'd kind of dictated while I was asleep that I had no memory of. But it was my voice speaking them. And like I said, that was really what opened my eyes more to a wider perspective on reality.
So wait a minute. You mean that I could end up doing that too, just put a recorder at night up on my pillow and just catch my voice talking mostly in my sleep? Is that how it goes?
Yeah, you can train yourself to do that. And, you know, it's absolutely fascinating because, like I said, most of us only remember the very last dream that we had. And it was a revelation to me because, you know, all the dreams I'd had for the night were recorded on this dictaphone. And I experienced myself in other physical bodies in other times in history. And like I said, nowadays I do past life readings for people. But at that time it was a revelation to me because it expanded my consciousness about, you know, who I was on a soul level. I'm not just this body personality, but I've had other bodies at other times. I also, in this dream diary, had premonitions about future events, both in the world in general, but also in my own life. I would meet new people that I hadn't met before in my dreams, and then I would meet them in physical reality. And I also, it was a way for me to connect with my spiritual guidance as well. And really that's then what propelled me to seek out, while I was awake rather than while I was asleep, spiritual groups and spiritual teachings and so on. And of course, all that was many years ago, at least 20 to 30 years ago. And so my spiritual journey continued on from there to where I am now.
Because I know when I was doing research, I know scientists are doing this too. They learn how to interpret what you're dreaming about by measuring. I think they measure your brain activity while you sleep. So that's amazing that you could actually do that.
Yes, and it just all it takes is a little bit of practice. I mean, I started out writing a dream diary and just doing it from memory. And then I used to just sleep with my finger on the on and off button of this, at the time, a dictaphone. I guess now you could probably even use a voice-activated device. But yeah, you can train yourself to do that.
Well, it's remarkable. It's like a remarkable breakthrough through the mind, through the whole fantasy world of everything. I love it.
People connecting with their intuition is the intellectual mind, you know, because we all have a tendency to analyze things and is that right and is that really true and is that really real? And so using dream work to access the spiritual side is perfect if you do have a strong intellectual mind, because you kind of bypass your intellect. You're not using your intellectual brain when you're dreaming and when you're sleeping. You're straight there into the spiritual reality.
Right. Now, you mentioned that you teach classes. Can we talk about the classes you teach?
Yeah, I teach. Everything I teach is really meant to empower people to take charge of their lives, to become consciously awake and aware as spirit in their body. And I do it in a number of ways. Obviously, my book is one way. But I teach people meditation techniques, but they're very special and specific meditation techniques that really aim to bring you into conscious awareness, and that teach you how to place your consciousness so that you start to activate your spiritual abilities. And they're also tools and techniques to help you release and let go of your limits and whatever is blocking you. And
yes.
So, you know, we start with basic meditation techniques, which are really very powerful and life-changing, but all the way to very advanced teachings and knowledge and information about spirituality and the intuitive senses. And I also do one-on-one mentoring with people, and I actually really, really love that. So I have a type of reading that I do called a spiritual ability blueprint. Spiritual ability blueprint is a reading of, when you were born, what spiritual abilities did you come in with this lifetime, expecting to use and focus on and expand? And then it gives you a reading of, right now, what's the setting of those abilities? And I find with most people, they have closed them down, and they're not operating at their full potential. And that enables me to sort of diagnose and look at what is it, what happened to you in your life that caused you to do this. And so I actually have a lot of mentoring clients that have their blueprint done, and then they work with me to let go of the limits and blocks and the past time experiences that caused them to invalidate themselves, and also to learn how to open and activate their spiritual abilities. And everybody is unique. And so, you know, the mentoring I do is really customized to the particular individual.
Okay. Now, also, you have a PhD. What is it in?
I have a PhD in microbiology. And like I mentioned at the beginning, I used to work in the pharmaceutical industry. And when I was a microbiologist, I traveled around the world collecting actually soil samples because of the type of soil bacteria, which you might have heard of the antibiotic penicillin. It comes from a fungus. Well, there are other microorganisms that produce antibiotics too. And I was a specialist in those microbes that can produce antibiotics.
Okay. Now, meditation, I love it. I love hearing about it. But what is it exactly?
Well, meditation is basically a time for you to turn within, and to tune out all of that, the busyness of the outside world, and connect with your inner world and with yourself. And really, meditation, I like to explain, it really has two main fundamental benefits or uses. One of them is really traditionally over thousands and thousands of years, people have been meditating on this planet and using it as a way to connect with the divine. You know, whatever your religious belief system is, it doesn't really matter, but meditation is a way for you to connect with your God or your concept of God, you know, whatever that may be. The other benefit of meditation is really very, very practical. And it's something that regardless of whether you're a spiritual person or not, you can use meditation to help you release and let go of stress. It can help you let go of stress and tension. And actually, there's a lot of scientific studies about this and the practices of mindfulness and meditation and how they help with not only stress relief, but also various medical conditions. And so people who are terminally ill and chronically ill can use meditation to help cope with their illness and also in some cases to even heal themselves of illness. And there's lots of studies of it with children as well, you know, using it to help counteract things like bullying and so on, you know, because it's helping you connect with yourself, it's helping you validate yourself, it's helping you feel more comfortable with yourself and really let go of any negative or difficult or challenging things that are going on inside of you.
Yeah, and it really increases that self-awareness and it helps you focus on the present. I love it.
Yeah.
Dr. Phyllis, is it also useful if you have a medical condition, especially one that may be worsened by stress?
That might be, I didn't hear the last word you said, sorry.
Well, I'm sorry, is meditation also useful if you have a medical condition, especially one that may be worsened by stress?
So, yeah, I mean, it's useful if you have a medical condition and a couple of ways to help you mentally cope with what you're going through, because it can be stressful if you have an illness, but also to help you, you know, through meditation and guided visualization, you can actually transform and change your physical state, your mental state and your emotional state. So it's possible for you to heal yourself of a medical condition, not only just, you know, cope with it, but actually heal yourself through the use of meditation.
I read that there are different types of meditation. They have guided meditation, natural meditation, mindfulness meditation, Qigong, Tai Chi, transcendental meditation, and yoga.
Yes. There are many types of meditation, and if you are thinking about meditating, then, you know, you might want to explore a few different types. So you're right, you know, yoga can be seen by some as a form of meditation. There are walking meditations. For some people, going for a silent walk is a meditation. For some people, listening to music is. And other people, you know, listening to a teacher take you on a guided journey is a meditation. Some forms of meditation take you out of your physical body. Other forms of meditation, like the form that I teach, help anchor you more securely within your physical body so that you can be really present and start to take charge of your life.
Why teach children to meditate?
Yeah. So why teach children to meditate? Well, for all the same reasons to teach adults to meditate and more.
Right.
So, yeah, kids these days, they can suffer from stress just like adults can. A lot of them have busy lives and busy schedules and lots of pressure to perform at school. So it can really help with that. It can help them focus and be really grounded and really present. And the more grounded and present you are, then the easier it is for you to get through your schoolwork and your homework in an efficient fashion. If it's a sick kid, it can help them with their medical condition. But something that I'm really passionate about, and that's helping a whole generation of children through my book to stay connected with their spiritual selves and to stay connected with their intuitive abilities and their spiritual abilities so that they never lose them and never have to go through a process of rediscovering them. You know, our generation of adults, most of us forget, and then maybe some of us wake up, you know, years later. But I want to help kids stay connected throughout their life so that they live their best life that they, you know, are meant to live, so that they can stay true to their path their whole life, so that they can know what they're here to do, be validated for who they are. Like I said, my book, The Midas Tree, that's my strongest wish, that it will help as many kids as possible to stay connected with their spiritual side.
I think that's a good thing, because we are losing our youth. There's so much violence out here, the bullying. So I think that is a great idea, Dr. Phillips, to get them back into God, because I think we lose that in our home. We don't talk about God. We forget to pray. Myself as well, we lose sight of it all. Or even if you don't lose sight, sometimes you may be too busy and you just forget, but we got to take our time for God. That's number one, and I need to start doing that myself. Just take out a few minutes with God, and we always think, oh, we have to go to church on Sunday. No. You're supposed to praise him every single day. So I think this is a wonderful idea that you brought out this book. I love books like this that focus on the children. But this is the question I want to ask. What if she or he or even I just can't sit down and focus?
Yeah, and you know, it's fairly common for somebody who's new to meditation to find it difficult, and a couple of things can happen. It's quite common for people when they first start meditating, especially the style that I teach, where you're actually becoming really present in your physical body. So you start to notice the things that you've stored in your physical body that you weren't aware of because you kind of were ungrounded and not even in your body before you started to meditate. So a lot of people say, I can't do it because when I sit down to meditate, I get a pain in my back and it really hurts and I can't sit for that long. And so my answer really for that is, yeah, it's because it's not the meditation that's causing the pain. You are becoming more aware of all the things that you've stuffed into your body, whether it's a physical pain, whether it's strong emotions that you become aware of. And so it's important to stick with it, because the longer you stick with it, then the more that you can release that physical pain, the more that you can release that emotional pain, and the more that you can get through those difficulties, and meditation will become easier and easier for you to do. The other one is that people often have really busy minds. They have this monkey mind. Their mind's just worrying all the time. They can't stop thinking. They're thinking about the future. They're thinking about the past. And there are meditation techniques that can assist you with that. So there's one that I teach called centering, which places the consciousness in the very center of the head, and it helps put you aside from your intellectual mind, and it helps put you above your emotions, so you become a neutral observer of these things rather than being swept away by them. A lot of people operate very much from their emotions more than anything else. And the emotions belong to the body. They don't belong to the spirit. The emotions are the way that the body communicates to you, the spirit. But most people allow the emotions to drive them. And really when that happens, it's the body that's in charge and not the spiritual being. And so, you know, by learning these specific techniques, then you can overcome all of the challenges of the body, like the physical aches and pains, like the busy monkey mind, and like the really strong emotions and so on.
To me, emotions, they could be very intense and unpredictable and even uncontrollable. So you have, as a human being, these feelings are anything but easy to deal with.
The emotions are one of the strongest drives of the physical body. And we all have that experience, you know, when you get really angry and you can't stop raging, or you get really sad and you can't stop crying, and you're really in that emotion. You become that emotion. But really, you know, what meditation can help you to do is realize you are not your emotion, and it can put you in charge of your reality so that you're no longer affected so strongly by them.
And the meditation is more, it's more of a distraction, because you want to distract yourself with other engagements. And even, to me, talk to the person who's maybe involved in these emotions so you can let them know, okay, I didn't like the way you did this or how you went about this. Because sometimes the emotions come from other people upsetting you. So that's why I really try to wean myself away from things of that sort. If I feel that I might not like what you say, I will walk away. Or as in any other case, when it comes to Facebook and this and other social media outlets, you can block things like that. For instance, Dr. Phillips, I had an employee, a coworker of mine yesterday. She was talking about someone posted on her Facebook about her not being sick. I got tired of hearing that. And I kind of, it teed me off a little bit, because I'm like, okay, in all due respect, you can easily block a person now. Even when it comes to text messaging on your phone, they have ways of you blocking it. Why talk about it when you could just easily do that? Because now you're upsetting me, which I don't want to be upset, because I don't want to hear it.
So you bring up an interesting point, and that is, of course, we don't exist as an island, but we're constantly interacting with other people and the energy of others. And yes, if somebody else has a really strong emotional reaction, or then it's quite possible that you end up sharing their energy. Their energy gets into your energy field. And that's another one of the benefits of meditation, is that you can use meditation to clear out foreign energy, to clear out other people's energy, other people's emotions, other people's concepts and beliefs. Because having up someone else's energy in your space can be very confusing. You're not able to see your reality quite clearly when that happens. And meditation can really help you with that. And of course, the other thing is, we can't really ever pull or change another person. All we can do is focus on ourselves. And if we're feeling disturbed at something, then meditation is a great tool to help you cope with whatever it is that you're going through.
I would love for you to teach us a meditation technique right now, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. I'd love to do that. And so anyone who wants to participate in this, if you just sit in a straight back chair with your feet flat on the floor, your hands resting lightly in your lap, and close your eyes, and just start by taking some deep breaths in and out. So take a deep breath in and out, and in and out, and use the breath just to help you connect with your physical body and to become more and more present. Tune in to an energy center that exists near the base of your spine and allow yourself to create a flow of energy that goes from there all the way to the center of the earth. That the flow of pure energy is going to flow through the chair that you're sitting in. It's going to flow through the floor of the room. It's going to flow through all the layers of physical matter until it reaches the center of the earth. So just allow yourself to do that right now. And just notice how that feels, and notice how your body responds to you, the spiritual being, grounding through it. Because what this technique does is it helps anchor you, the high vibration spiritual being, into your physical body. It helps you to start to wake up and become aware and to become really, really conscious. The other benefit of grounding is that you can use this flow of energy to release absolutely anything. Do that right now. Just while you're in this state with your eyes closed and with this flow of energy going from near the base of your spine to the center of the earth, just do a quick scan of your body and notice if you have any areas of stress or tension or even pain. And if you do, simply allow those areas of stress or tension or pain to effortlessly flow away down your grounding cord all the way to the center of the earth. I'll just give you a moment or two now just to do that, to effortlessly release and allow any pain or stress or tension to flow away down your grounding cord. So stay in meditation and keep doing that, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about this grounding technique because you can use it to release absolutely anything. If you're experiencing a really strong emotion and you want to change your emotional state, you can release that emotion down your grounding. If your mind is going crazy with worry, you can release the worry down your grounding cord. If you are self-sabotaging yourself because you have some self-limiting belief systems or concepts that you're operating from, you can release that down your grounding. Like I was saying before, if you're dealing with another strong personality and you have some of their energy in your space, then you can release that down your grounding cord. Just release a bit more energy down your grounding cord. And then when you're ready, just pat yourself on the knee and open your eyes and finish your meditation for now. But know that now that you know this very powerful meditation technique, no one can take it away from you, and you can actually change your life with that one very powerful technique.
It's so relaxing too. That's why I love to do yoga. And every now and then my friends get me weird because, you know, I might do the arms and this down weird, like, what are you doing? I'm releasing my energy. That stress, it can kill you. And that's why I tell people, I try not to be so stressed, because it will take you out, that stress.
Oh, absolutely, yes. I mean, you know, many physical illnesses originate from condition of being under stress, first of all. So you're right. You're completely right about that.
Yes. You can't let your emotions work over on you. And sometimes, in all reality, they drive us crazy. They can only do that if we really give them the chance to. So that's why I said walk away from the situation. If it becomes too much of a problem, talk with that person. Look, I don't want to be bothered with this issue, because don't let this be the main factor in your life to take you out.
Yeah.
That really felt comfortable. That felt so comfortable, Dr. Fields. I love that. Can meditation help cope with creativity?
Oh, yes, absolutely. It can help with creativity. In fact, that's how I came to write my book. I used meditation to really help me connect with what I was meant to write about. And I also used meditation to help me release any blocks that I had to being able to write. And so actually one night I did a four-hour meditation, really focusing on that. And that night I couldn't sleep. And by the morning I had the entire outline of my book sketched out. And it was really meditation that allowed me to bring that information through so easily and so readily. I also, when I first started meditating and I first started my spiritual training, it really opened up my artistic side, and I started painting. And that's how I came to create my card deck, my Portico Soul Essence cards, was because meditation helped me open up my artistic side. And there are many, many examples, actually, in history and in science of meditation or the dream state being a way for people to access their creativity. So Albert Einstein got E equals MC squared while he was in an altered state of consciousness, kind of like a daydream. The guy who invented the sewing machine, the same thing. You know, if you Google online for examples of people's creativity coming out because they were in a meditative or a dreamlike state, then, you know, there are many, many examples of this, so it totally can.
Oh, yes, well, it is powerful, and it also helps you tune into your inner guidance, too. I love it.
Yes, it does, and that's really a passion of mine, is how meditation can help you connect with your intuition. And like I was saying at the beginning of the show, everybody has intuition. Everybody has what we call psychic senses. And there are a lot of misconceptions really out there about what being psychic is. But we all have it. And meditation is totally the way that you can connect with it and activate it and start to learn how to use it.
Everyone does have this, but not everyone is aware of it.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Not everybody is aware of it. And one of the main reasons is that, you know, intuition is something that happens instantly. It's like you just know something, or you just see it and you know it's true. It just happens instantly. But what most people do when they get an intuitive insight like that is that they immediately pass it through their intellectual mind and start analyzing it and questioning it and weighing up the pros and cons of it and trying to decide if it was a real thing or not. And in doing so, they completely lose that intuitive flash. So one of the things is to trust it and not analyze it and not put it through your intellectual mind. And there are meditation techniques that you can learn that really help you to do that, to let go of that tendency to intellectualize. But, you know, a lot of people are doing it all the time, but they're not aware that they do, and they just need a mentor or somebody to help explain it to them and to help, you know, talk them through some exercises and to just demonstrate, you know, well, actually, that's not your imagination, that's your clairvoyance, you know. I'm amazed, you know, give me an hour with anybody and I can get them using one of their spiritual abilities. You know, I can show them how to see spiritually, how to use their clairvoyance. I had a lady the other week and we did a spiritual ability blueprint on her and it showed that she was clairaudient. You know, we had a one-hour session and we had her actively hearing with her clairaudience. I mean, the other thing is, of course, that one of the things that I'm aware of is that a lot of people who get diagnosed with a mental illness, actually what's happening is that they're experiencing their spiritual abilities. Because you go to the doctor and you say, doctor, I'm hearing voices. Doctor, I'm seeing things that are not there. Then the doctor's going to put you on some medication, right? But, you know, I've had a lot of clients that they come to me and it's like, no, this is your intuitive and your spiritual abilities. And, you know, and this is how to be in control of them so that you know, you're not thinking you're crazy and people are not thinking that you're crazy.
Yes. Oh, David, tell us we have a call on the line. How are you, caller?
Yes, it's Jay calling from Canada. My question to your guest is regarding silent meditation versus guided meditation. I just find a lot of people go for the guided meditation because, you know, people are, you know, they're following the person. But I just wondered, are there more benefits to silent meditation to get, I don't know, just discover yourself instead of, like, I don't know, following the tree or whatever type of meditation? I just find that guided meditation is more creating a story than anything else. I just wonder what your opinion is about that is.
Yeah, well, of course, like I say, everybody is unique, and there are many forms of meditation out there, and it's for everyone really to find the form of meditation that is best for them. And of course, you're right. Some people follow a guru, but that doesn't mean that all forms of guided meditation are being taught by someone who sees themselves as a guru. And so, you know, I think that, so for example, I will teach my clients by talking them through techniques to teach the techniques to them. And then they can take those techniques and practice them on their own in silence. You know, and of course there's, you know, there's the form of silent meditation where you're just entering a state of nothingness, having no thoughts or observing your thoughts and so on. But there's another form of silent meditation where you can actually be practicing yourself in silence, yeah, techniques and visualization. And so, you know, I wouldn't say that anyone is better or worse than the other. I have my own preferences for what I teach and what I practice. And that they might work for you, but something else might work for you.
Yeah, that's a lot of questions I have. I've been meditating for a while, too, and, you know, been in, you know, guided meditation, silent meditation, and other meditations. I just wondered, regarding meditation, you're talking about the health aspects of it, but do we really get in touch with self or know ourselves when we actually do the meditations for not such a long period of time, but just really focusing on it, maybe it's for like 21 days or so for that, you know, that pattern to get involved, you know, to get instilled in our DNA. I just wonder what your thoughts about that is.
Okay, so I think the question is about how meditation can help you to know yourself. And I mean,
yeah,
absolutely it does. But, you know, and again, it's just this question of like how long to meditate for and how often. And again, it's a personal choice. I mean, you can go away on a meditation retreat and completely bury yourself in it, or you can, you know, if you're new to it, you can start with 10 minutes a day and then gradually expand it so that you're doing an hour a day every day. And the idea is, in order to know yourself, you have to strip away the layers of illusion. And what I mean by the layers of illusion really are, you know, when we come into this world straight from spirit, but then we're surrounded by a culture and we're surrounded by other people who all have ideas, concepts, beliefs, and so on about reality and about the world. And they teach them to us. And so through our lives, we take on other people's concepts and other people's beliefs and other people's energies. And so how to get to know yourself, you need to strip away those layers of reality. You need to strip away that energy that isn't you. So it's the process of releasing and letting go and self-examination. As you know, if this particular concept works for me or it doesn't. And that's how you get to know the real you. And it's also something, you know, that the spiritual experience that, you know, scientists can't really understand this because they want to be able to analyze and explain it logically. But some of the experiences that you have through meditation of your soul or your higher self, you can't even put into words. It's just an experience, a knowingness, a connectedness, an experience of yourself as a being of love and light, you know, which is actually who we all are.
That's interesting. Very good. Okay, well, thanks very much for allowing me to be part of the show and asking your questions. I look forward to, you know, listening to the rest of the show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much.
You're welcome.
Tell us about the Midas tree.
Yeah, I would love to tell you about the Midas tree. So as I was saying, it's a book that came through me in a meditative state. And I actually wrote it using one of my spiritual abilities, my clairvoyance, because the book played to me kind of like a movie, and I wrote down what I saw happening. But anyway, it's a spiritual adventure novel, and it contains these very ancient and profound spiritual teaching, including tools and techniques that you can use to all the things that we've been talking about, you know, to activate your spiritual abilities or to relieve stress and so on. But it's not a how-to book, it's a novel. And so if you've ever read a book like, let's use some examples, The Celestine Prophecy or Illusions by Richard Bach, where it's an adventure story, but at the same time you're learning spiritual information, that's the kind of book that it is. It's almost a bit like Alice in Wonderland or the Chronicles of Narnia or even Harry Potter, in that it's written in a way that's accessible to both adults and children. And the hero of the story is called Joshua. He basically discovers a magic acorn that propels him on a lifetime of adventures inside a tree, and the tree is the Midas tree. And he wants to return home where he came from, but he's told you can't do that because now that you're in the tree, you have a quest that you have to fulfill, that you have a purpose for being here. And it's like we all have a life purpose, don't we? And so Joshua is given his life purpose, and the book is about the adventures and challenges that he comes across and has to overcome. And there are magical teachers in the tree called Devas, who are the keepers of this ancient spiritual information, who help him to overcome his challenges.
Oh, wow. I mean, and we all go through these challenges every day. Do you have any pointers on ways to really, besides meditation, to overcome our everyday challenges? So we go through these, like losing our job to pay our bills.
Really? Meditation is the answer to all of those things, whether it's a job loss, you know, whether it's a divorce, whether it's any major life event that's, you know, traumatic and challenging, that by using meditation, you can not only cope with that difficult experience, but you can transcend it and you can start to create a new life for yourself, the other side of that job loss or relationship breakdown or whatever it is. Because we've been talking so far about how meditation can help you release and let go of your pain. What we haven't talked about is how meditation can help you actually to create your reality. You can use meditation to manifest what you want in your life.
Okay. Use meditation for what you want in your life. For instance, well, I want to be a news reporter. I'm still trying to get into that field. So I should use meditation to help me?
Absolutely. And so the trick is you visualize what it is that you want in as much detail as you like, and then you release that visualization into the universe. I actually use a pink balloon. I place my visualization in a pink balloon, and then I release that. I just watch that balloon float away. And then that's kind of like me sending my order out to the pizza restaurant. This is what I want you to deliver back to me. And the universe is a benevolent universe, and it will deliver what you've requested back to you, especially if you also use meditation to let go of anything within you that says you can't have what you want, any limits and so on. And also, if you think about, when I get this thing that I want, how do I expect to feel? How will it make me feel? Will I feel, you know, I'll feel fulfilled, I'll feel happy, I'll feel joyful. And then practice feeling that way right now, because what that does is it magnetizes what you've requested towards you, because like attracts like. So it's actually how you magnetize what you want is by already radiating those feelings and emotions and so on that you expect to have when you have your desire fulfilled.
Okay. Yeah, there was an article like that on the Huffington Post online. The woman said meditation actually, it changed her life, it saved her job, and it helped her find a husband.
Right. Absolutely. And yes, you can learn to use meditation to do all of that.
Meditation, I mean, when I think of that, I think about God. You start listening. Like, we don't listen to God, so that's why things don't go our way, because we fail to do that. But once you start listening, when you stop fighting, when you keep on meditating, when you keep on believing in God, then everything will work out well in your path.
Yeah, it's about going along with the flow of your life, isn't it? Rather than trying to swim upstream or cling onto a rock. Exactly. And, you know, some people call it God. I do. For other people, you know, it's their own higher self or it's supreme being or the great all that is. But whatever word that you call it, it's having that connection to the divine. And of course, you know, it's my belief that we are all divine. We are all a part of God because God is everything. So that means you are part of God, right? And so we're co-creators with God.
Yes, we are. Yes, I do. I still agree with that 100%.
And meditation is helping you to consciously participate in that act of co-creation.
You know, meditation is a little like working out, doing athletic training. Are there any dangers to meditation?
I've never been asked that before. Are there any dangers to meditation? I think, you know, my answer to that would be, it's like any tool. It depends what you do with it. Somebody might say, are there any dangers to a gun? Well, I don't know. If you're in a shooting range and you're, you know, aiming the gun at a bullet target and there's no other people in the way, then there's very little danger to it. But if you take a machine gun into a school, then there's a lot of danger in it. So I think meditation is a tool. And like any tool, you can use it to enhance your life, to support your life. But, you know, I mean, I guess it is possible to connect with energies that are not necessarily beneficial.
Do you think adults will also enjoy reading your book?
Yes, I do. I'm actually, like I said at the beginning, I'm at this Body Soul Spirit Expo this weekend, and I've sold a whole bunch of my books because, like I said, it helps kids to stay connected with who they are, but it helps adults to remember who they are, and it helps adults to reconnect with that divine aspect of themselves and to stimulate and activate their spiritual abilities. So in my book, you know, if you want to do any of the things that we've been talking about, if you want to learn how to manifest your own reality, if you want to learn how to release stress, and if you want to learn how to activate your psychic abilities or your spiritual abilities, this book has tools and techniques embedded within the story that you can learn to practice yourself. So just as the hero, Joshua, in the book is instructed in these techniques, if you follow the instructions that he's given, then you're able to get the same results as he does. And so I think it's a very empowering book for adults to read as well as for kids to read. And actually, it is a great book for families to read together, for parents to read to their kids or grandparents to read to their kids.
Once again, Dr. Phillips, before we get off the air, tell us again where people can get your book.
If you go to a website called themidastree.com, and that's spelled themidastree.com, then there's a button that you can press that will take you to the place on Amazon where you can purchase the book. At the moment, the book is in bookstores in Canada, although we're hoping this year it will be in bookstores in the U.S. as well. So for U.S. citizens at the moment, the place to buy it is online from Amazon. I also want to say that everybody listening, I'll give you a free gift, which is a free one-card reading from my Portico card deck. If you go to afreecardreading.com, I'll give you a free one card reading to say thank you for listening to this show. And also, while I'm at this expo, I have a special for my spiritual ability blueprint, the psychic ability blueprint. If you are wondering if you're psychic, if you've had psychic experiences and you want them to be validated, then I want to extend the offer that I'm making at the show today. So these blueprints are normally $120 each, and I'm offering them for $65 at the show. And so if you write to me, and you can do it by going to afreecardreading.com and filling out the form on the landing page there and say that you heard me on this radio show and you want to get your psychic ability blueprint done, then I will extend that half-price offer to you.
Well, thank you so much. I do appreciate you being on this show. And much love to the children, too, in the background.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I've had a lot of fun.
Thank you. You have a blessed one.
Right.
Well, thank you so much for calling in today and listening to my show. I appreciate your questions, your comments. Thank you so much. Coming up tomorrow, we will have Christy Kennedy, who is an entrepreneur. She will be teaching us how to live on the cutting edge of entrepreneurship. So tune in tomorrow at 12 o'clock p.m. I love you, and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to The Bright Side with Tanisha.
Come back daily from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern.
God bless.